They had photographed the elusive images inside a score of the crystal pillars when the sheer variety of items gave Norton a clue. Perhaps this was not a collection, but a catalogue, indexed according to some arbitrary but perfectly logical system. He thought of the wild juxtapositions that any dictionary or alphabetized list will give, and tried the idea on his companions.
"I see what you mean," said Mercer. "The Ramans might be equally surprised to find us putting, camshafts next to cameras."
"Or books beside boots,"
added Calvert, after several seconds' hard thinking. One could play this game for hours, he decided, with increasing degrees of impropriety.
"That's the idea," replied Norton. "This may be an index catalogue for 3D images, templates, solid blueprints, if you like to call them that."
"For what purpose?"
"Well, you know the theory about the biots. The idea that they don't exist until they're needed, and then they're created, synthesized, from patterns stored somewhere."
"I see," said Mercer slowly and thoughtfully. "So when a Raman needs a left-handed blivet, he punches out the correct code number, and a copy is manufactured from the pattern in here."
"Something like that. But please don't ask me about the practical details."
The pillars through which they had been moving had been steadily growing in size, and were now more than 2 meters in diameter. The images were correspondingly larger. It was obvious that, for doubtless excellent reasons, the Ramans believed in sticking to a 1-to-1 scale. Norton wondered how they stored anything really big, if this was the case. To increase their rate of coverage, the four explorers had now spread out through the crystal columns and were taking photographs as quickly as they could get their cameras focused on the fleeting images. This was an astonishing piece of luck, Norton told himself, though he felt that he had earned it. They could not possibly have made a better choice than this illustrated catalogue of Raman artifacts. And yet, in another way, it could hardly have been more frustrating. There was nothing actually here except impalpable patterns of light and darkness. These apparently solid objects did not really exist. Even knowing this, more than once Norton felt an almost irresistible urge to laser his way into one of the pillars, so that he could have something material to take back to Earth. It was the same impulse, he told himself wryly, that would prompt a monkey to grab the reflection of a banana in a mirror. He was photographing what seemed to be some kind of optical device when Calvert's shout started him running through the pillars.
"Skipper! Carl! Will! Look at this!"
Joe was prone to sudden enthusiasms, but what he had found was enough to justify any amount of excitement. Inside one of the 2-meter columns was an elaborate harness or uniform, obviously made for a vertically standing creature, much taller than a man. A very narrow central metal band apparently surrounded the waist, thorax, or some division unknown to terrestrial zoology. From this rose 3 slim columns, tapering outwards and ending in a perfectly circular belt, an impressive meter in diameter. Loops equally spaced along it could only be intended to go round upper limbs or arms. 3 of them.